The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation at GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 37 of the Making It Matter podcast series, communicating about cystic fibrosis.
Hi everyone, Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we remain compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union, so big thanks for them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. So Julie, we're back after our week hiatus, and it is now CF Awareness Month, or as I like to call it, let's jam as much information about CF down your throat as we can month. Because what are we doing? We're talking a little bit louder about CF.
Yes.
For the month of May. I was at a CF education day last week where I was giving a talk in Wisconsin, and a lot of the questions that I got from the people in attendance were about communicating cystic fibrosis to people around them in their lives. You know, communicating their son or daughter's CF to other people, and whether or not it's appropriate to do that. So those people may include teachers, coaches, classmates, you know, in the elementary level, classmates in the middle school level, classmates in the high school level. And then as you get older, it's communicating it to coworkers, college roommates, friends, people that just are around you but may not know. And then with that, there come some weird, uncomfortable moments in talking about your CF. And there are also quite a few funny moments as I've experienced in my life as well. So let's start with, talking to little kids about CF. You know, what I'm saying is, say you have a son or daughter who's 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and you want to make sure that his friends know what's going on, or rather his friend's family knows what's going on if they ever have, if they're having play dates or little sleepovers, or if they're in school. You know, I think it's important to make sure everyone knows, simply so that you're not getting awkward questions, or your son or daughter is in a position to hopefully answer a question in the correct and most effective and positive way. And I think the way to do that is by sort of giving other people the basics. You know, I don't think you want to scare people away right up front.
I agree. Plus, when you're that young, there's like the blissful naivete that is actually in your favor. Cause I don't really remember that many conversations as like a young child where I felt like my friends were realizing the ramifications of what, cystic fibrosis is.
Yeah. I don't think it's so much the friends. I think it's more like their family. I think it's important to reassure, your little friend's family that, you're not sick. And I think it's important for parents to do that. So what I mean by that is, let's say little Jimmy, 7 years old, and he wants to go have a play date with little Carlos over at Carlos's house. And the little play date turns into a sleepover or whatever. And you want to make sure that the parents on the other end understand what CF is so that they're not overreacting to anything. You know, obviously little Jimmy's going to have a cough, or he might take some pills with dinner, or he might have to do some treatments, whatever. And I think, it's important to impress upon the lifestyle that someone with CF may have, and how it is, it's conducive to everyone else's lifestyle as well. It's not like a barrier to a sleepover or a barrier to a play date or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Normalizing the experience for everyone as early on as possible is like the best way to go about it, for sure.
Yeah. But I think to expand further on, just normalizing is a broad spectrum word of saying it.
Yeah.
The way I used to do it is when I used to go over for like a little sleepover or whatever, my mom or dad would drop me off and I'd have my little bag of medicine, and you know, I'd go off and play with my friends while at the same time my parents basically gave my little friends, you know, family a crash course on what was going on.
Right.
And then obviously my parents also encouraged, you know, my friends' family to ask questions to me because I could answer them in the moment, and I sort of had, you know, enough experience at that point by the time I was in first grade to answer questions that came my way about CF, about care. I mean, I knew how to do what I was doing at that point. And I think it's important to make sure that, you know, you don't want to send your kid off into the wild of a sleepover or whatever if he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, they need allies at the sleepover since they're going to be not with their parents, their number one allies anyway. So it is important to, like, set the ground, like, the foundation for those parents to be kind of guiding for that time period.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to recognize that these are important building blocks of childhood.
Yeah.
You know,
there's no reason why you can't have a sleepover because of CF. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to that point, you know, there's no reason why you can't go to a birthday party or a pool party or whatever. You know, you can't overreact to some of these, yeah, to some of these issues. And I think the more that you expose your kid to, you know, doing these things on sleepovers and, you know, playdates and parties and stuff like that, as long as he's in good health or whatever, you know, they're important ways to build a support team as well. You know, you don't want to, you know, overreact and have your kid do the vest or something and do all those treatments, you know, in a rush and then get over to the sleepover later than he normally would. You know, why not include the other family in the care process? Because ultimately, as he gets older, he's going to want to have those pieces of the support system in place.
Yeah, and it's already integrating, like showing the child how to integrate CF into
his social
real
world.
Life anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've heard the term of normalizing the experience, and I don't know if I say normalizing is the best way to go about talking about it. And I think it's really just being inclusive is the way I would put it. You know, you're including other people in the fight. I mean, did you go on sleepovers when you were a little kid? I assume you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And it was never like a barrier. You know, it was never like a, it was more like getting over the fear of just being away from your parents rather than it was, you know, fear of treatments. Because the treatments, I think by the time you're 7, 8, 9 years old, you've done them every day for your life for the 7, 8, 9 years. You know, it's not it's not like you're going out of the norm by doing your treatment somewhere else. You know, if you're going on like a trip to Disney World, you're still going to bring your treatments there. You're just in a hotel.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I was more often the host of the sleepovers, not because of CF, but because I didn't want to leave my family.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I of course, everyone has the issue where they want to go somewhere to sleep over, and then there's always the phone call at like 11:30. Yeah, come pick me up. Yeah. So I think that's more that's really the barrier that the kid has to get over. Right. And not so much the CF, because I think by that point, at least in the CF kid's world, he has become normalized to the treatment process already during a sleepover or whatever.
Sure.
So now the other part of this is for little kids or kids going in elementary school, middle school, that are in school. Mm-hmm. And now you're sort of in a weird place where you have to, I think it's important to tell the teachers, tell the administration, and you know, there's HIPAA laws that protect your privacy, but at the same time, I think it's important for everyone to sort of, you know, everyone that sort of is interacting with you to know what's going on, so that if somebody does have a cold and still comes into school, or someone has, you know, the stomach flu or something like that, the teacher knows to move you from your normal seat to sit somewhere else. You know, I think my parents were pretty upfront with me and being like, you know, if somebody's sick, you got to stay, you know, or has a runny nose or whatever, you have to avoid that kid during, you know, during the school day. I'm not sure I really understood the overall ramifications of why that was at such a young age. But at a young age, you know, you want to listen to your parents, or you think you should at least listen to your parents if you're brought up in a sort of disciplined way like I was.
Yeah. No, I think, again, like broadening your support system in those circumstances is so important. And the teachers and administrators are absolutely part of that. At that age.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also important to sort of do it in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, what I always say is you don't want to give the impression that you're – yes, exactly. You don't want to give the impression to the teachers or the administrators that you have to be held – that your kid or, you know, has to be held back from something. you know, I think it's important that he's involved in as much as he can be involved in. And the teachers ultimately have to be the one that allow that to happen. You know, they have to be the ones that are willing to give the opportunity to the kid with CF. And there's ways to do that. You know, you have to, first of all, show the, you know, the teacher or the administration that your son or daughter can be a successful kid despite having CF. And you want to make sure and that the administration really follows through on that. You know, you don't want to just, you know, send your kid off on the first day of school and wish for the best. You have to sort of stay on top of it, I think.
Yeah.
Until you're comfortable with, you know, what's going on.
Right.
You know, because you don't want to be a helicopter parent.
No, especially with CF, I feel like you need to allow the child to, like, come into their own with their CF care, too. So I think the helicopter parent thing is an important thing to note, too, is it can go the other way, which is not good.
Yeah, and ultimately what that means is, like, is having the kid take the responsibility himself of eventually sharing what his CF is.
Yeah.
You know, and that comes from, I think, you know, the insistence of the CF kid's parents. You know, you got to teach your kid how to talk about CF, how to answer questions, how to, you know, really understand what he's doing. And obviously you do those in small incremental bits over time. You know, by the time your kid's in second grade, he's not going to have the answer to what every single thing does. It's just ridiculous to even think. Yeah. But when another student sees him taking pills or administrator sees a child taking pills or something like that, he should know how to answer why he's doing that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's a balance, but it's one that's, I think, easy to navigate as long as you're staying open and honest and teaching your child to, like, own their situation and share when they feel comfortable, too. I think that that's important.
Like, when you were a kid in school, did you have to go to the nurse for your meds, or did you have them on you?
I had to go to the nurse, actually.
Oh, you did? Wow.
I think up until about third grade, and then I had them on me.
Oh, wow. See, for as long as I can remember, I always had my medications on me. And I for some reason, I know there's certain schools and districts or whatever. I don't let kids do that, and I think that's idiotic. You know, I think part of CF care is being able to take command of your own care at a young age. And the reason I say that is because, let's say you're you're second, third, or fourth grade, you're a kid, and you're going off to lunchtime, right? You don't want to have to go to the nurse to get your pills and then go meet your friends at lunch.
I know, I used to beg, like, and actually my teacher would have, like, a buddy for me each lunch period, but I would, like, beg someone to come with me.
It's the stupidest,
it's a bad,
like, protocol I've ever heard of. I mean, I will say, you know, with one sort of amendment to that, that if the CF kid is responsible enough to take his pills and stuff like that, then he should be allowed to take his medications to lunch, because ultimately, you know, everyone remembers the mad dash to lunch, because you want to sit with your friends, and obviously there's always, like, fewer available chairs than there should be at a lunch table where you'd like to sit with your friends, and you have to go sit with other people. So I think, you know, having the ability to sort of be flexible in that manner is very important for a younger kid. You don't want to be broken off from, you know, the rest of the group and looked at as an outsider because you have to go do something like that. That is an idiotic, you know, regulation on behalf of whatever schools do that. I never had to do that because, for whatever reason, my school has never had that policy in place. I just was, you know, what I did was my mom would pack my lunch at the beginning of the day, and she would put my medications inside
there,
my little lunch bag, so that when I went to go to lunch, I'd open my lunch bag, and there were my medications. They were all right there, my enzymes to take before lunch.
Yeah, luckily, up until fourth grade, I went to school with my older brother that has CF, so, like, we were usually each other's buddy at lunch, which I felt really cool because, like, I had an older brother. So that helped me. But, yeah, I agree. If you can talk your school into letting your child take responsibility as early as you feel comfortable as the parent, then do it.
I mean, that's ultimately – I think that comes with, you know, time. It's like if your kid's not – like, if you don't think your kid's going to be taking his pills in first or second grade – then, you know, he's going to need help. Exactly. But my parents, for whatever reason, were able to trust me with taking my medications at an early age, and I think it's because at least the enzyme part of the whole care thing was sort of just as far as I'm concerned, it was the easiest part of care because, you know, you weren't doing the treatments or whatever like that. They weren't active. Taking a pill is a lot easier than sitting down and doing a nebulizer for for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So from there, and then, you know, you go to high school, and then things become a little different because kids become very clicky, and there's, you know, there's groups of people, there's you know, the athletes, there's, you know, the theater
and
kids.
And the self-awareness.
There's everyone's, everyone's very self-conscious about how they look, how they feel. And then, you know, it becomes sort of a weird situation. You know, how does a high school kid deal with communicating his CF to, you know, other kids? Especially if you're coming into playing a sport, for example, and you're dealing with 4 years of kids that are older than you. And most of them you don't know as a freshman in high school. Let's deal with that example or that scenario. You know, I think, especially in sports, it's important for the coach to at least know what's going on. You know, I coach high school ice hockey, and I always tell my my athletes in the beginning of the year, like our first meeting, if you have a health issue or if there's something going on, you have to let me know because I obviously want to give you the opportunity to be the most successful athlete that you can be. And the only way I can do that is by knowing, you know, if you're taking yourself out of a drill to, you know, check your insulin, or you have asthma and you need an inhaler, or if you have, you know, whatever else, you know, I need to know so that I'm not, you know, looking down upon you in a unfair way. You know, I have to be able to help you along as best I can.
Yep. Yeah, I think you have to tell the coach as soon as possible. Like, again,
the coach is also the first responder as well. Yeah. And like, say, you know, especially when I was playing football and you're out there in the 100-degree heat practicing in the middle of August, you know, the coach and the trainer have to know what to look for in case you're overheating or whatever. And that's who the responsibility ultimately falls upon.
Yeah. And another, like, point is to tell your teammates and be open with them, too, because that is your support system there as well. I mean, you and I are big champions of being open and honest about CF anyway. And to be honest, I went to an all-girls high school, so I didn't really, like, there was no self-awareness as far as boys were concerned. So, like, I told everyone. I was very open about it from the get-go. And it was to my advantage. I felt like I had a solid support system at my school every single day and in any extracurricular activity that I did.
I mean, let's put it this way. If you're playing a sport and you're in the locker room or whatever, you know, it's pretty easy to understand that someone that you have CF. You know, you're not going to be able to keep it a secret for long because you're going to be coughing out there in the field. You're going to have to take pills during, you know, mealtime. And you can only hide it for so long before someone actually realizes what's going on. That you're, you know, maybe you are a little different than everyone else, and that's okay. But like I always say, it's important to be upfront with someone because if you try to hide something from somebody else, then you know, you're betraying somebody. You're betraying the person's trust and, you know, how they may feel about you. And ultimately, I have found that most people are inherently good. And they want to be able to help you. Even if they're in high school and they're, you know, inexperienced kids, this is where they learn how to do that. You know, they learn how to be there for their friends.
Yeah, it's an important moment for both parties, the CF patient and their friends.
And so, by that point, you should be able to be, you know, the kid with CF should be able to be more versed on what's going on and be able to answer more complex questions and things like that. You know, I look back to my high school years and I actually remember one specific day, and it's when we were learning about CF in biology class. I think in biology class, that's like how most people know about CF. They get one day of CF. Mm-hmm. Education in biology class. It's like the introduction to genetics because the whole like recessive gene thing, that's how they sort of teach genetics. So I actually remember when we learned about it and I felt like I had butterflies in my stomach because I was like, oh my God, like everyone else is learning about what goes on here. And, you know, obviously looking back, I realized that everyone was oblivious to the way that I was feeling, even though I was. That's, like, the moment of self-conscious that I had. And then as soon as the lesson passed and, like, no one felt any different about anything else or about me personally, then I realized, I was like, oh, okay, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally fine.
I actually remember biology class, too, but my teacher actually had me make a PowerPoint presentation for my class on what's, like, when that chapter came about. She was like, why don't you actually tell us what it's like? And I remember that class so vividly, and the girls in that class I remember having a unique bond with after that, just because I think they got it, you know.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a ninth grader, but I love that the teacher, you know, was able to do that. The teacher's in a weird spot there because she's talking about it and she knows that somebody in the class is dealing with it.
Is an expert on it.
Yes, and probably more of an expert than, she herself is, yeah. So, you know, it's a very sticky situation, and I actually applaud the teacher for taking the initiative and really giving you the reins.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the teacher already knew me for a few months, so she knew I was spotlight, so she knew I would have been okay with public speaking, so
yeah.
But it was a good opportunity. It honestly was probably the first time I spoke publicly, like
about your CF
in a setting like that, about CF. yeah,
that's a good story. You know, I hear that a lot. I hear a lot of, you know, stories from parents telling me about their kids who give presentations in class about CF, and I think that's ultimately, that's an awesome way to break the ice, because not only is it like an educational setting, you're doing a little project, but it's going to be the easiest project in your life because you're just talking about yourself, right? And everyone loves to talk about themselves. I mean, I don't care how how much of a me person you are, whether you're not, everyone loves to talk about themselves. So that's a great way to really, you know, break the ice, so to speak, in the high school world. Because at that point, You have some education under your belt, and you know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so, you're able to share that knowledge, which is a nice opportunity.
Exactly. I think by that point, as far as, you know, my medications and stuff, when I think I was keeping my medications in my backpack, and that's sort of how I remembered to take my pills and stuff. I don't really remember. Or maybe I did have the pill case at that point. I think I started using the pill case that I was talking about, where I keep my medications and stuff throughout the day. I think I started using the pill case sort of by the end of high school. Well, that was so long ago, I forget. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, we're old.
Yes, exactly. So from high school, we obviously go on to, you know, kids will start to find their first job. They start to find their way into college. And then, you know, you really have to start utilizing some of the things that are at your disposal that you haven't already, like the Americans with Disabilities Act. If you haven't invoked that already as a young kid to protect yourself from absences and you know, lateness and things like that, exactly, you know, the time to really use that is when you're doing the college entry exams, like the SAT, the ACT. That's when I first started doing it. And then absolutely when you're in college. You have to 100% make sure that the college that you're going to adheres to the ADA, because there are certain colleges out there that do not have to. Just for whatever reason. It's like they're like some weird sort of private school or like a religious institution or whatever. But most schools have to. And I think, I mean, it's critical. If you go to a school that does not adhere to the ADA, you know, shame on you. That's your own fault for not doing your homework.
I would have survived.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I wouldn't have.
And the conversations that you have with your professors and the administration, the college, are far different than the conversations you have with your teachers growing up. Because at that point, you know, your grades are absolutely critical to your degree and your sort of life after college. And college professors are the absolute worst, in my opinion. Because a lot of them are just this is a personal opinion. A lot of them are just sort of like bull themselves, you know, and they just like want to like just slam their agenda down your throat, and they don't always have like your best interest in mind. As far as I'm concerned, that's like my
personal experience.
Yeah, that's my personal experience based on a few professors that were totally
non-conducive
to my CF and my situation. I mean, I would like very uncomfortable situations. But at the same time, I did have professors that were fantastic about my CF, and they made sure that my best interest was, and also their best interest, and they were able to sort of help me get through, you know, my education and stuff like that. Because there were times in college when I had to miss extended periods of time. I had pneumonia a couple times in school, and I had pancreatitis. So there were quite a few situations where I did miss extended periods of time, and most of the professors were able to deal with it. There were a handful, maybe 5-10% of them, were just totally like in their own world. And that does happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I had like, you know, two or three bad eggs for professors, but for the most part, my professors were because of the Disability Act and like having that in place, they knew and they were on my team. Like I felt
they all should be, but there's always going to be one or two that's going to push back for whatever reason. It's not like you're trying to get ahead in the world, but you're really just trying to play with two hands in front of you instead of having one hand tied behind your back. And the Americans with Disabilities Act does that for you. It puts you on a level playing field. You know, you're not getting preferential treatment in any stretch of the imagination. You are being allowed to succeed like everyone else because you're going to have issues. You know, as you get older with CF, you start to have more and more issues. That's just what happens with the degenerative disease at this point in time. Yep. It's going to happen. So,
I miss 2 weeks of my first semester right before final exams. And one of my bad egg professors was one of my professors that year. And like, I know that because I had everything in place, I was able to pass the class, but I would have done far better with a more flexible professor.
Yeah, I had the same sort of situation happen my senior year. I had a problem with, like, I was taking, like, some elective course that I had to take for some requirement or whatever. And let's put it this way. The class that I was taking was going to have no impact on the rest of my life or career. It was just some stupid class that the curriculum at BC had to make me take, or I had to take because of the curriculum requirements at BC, and the professor just was like, it was a lecture with like 150 kids in it, and right during midterms or whatever, I was sick with pneumonia, and I missed like a ton of school. And whose fault is that? It's no one's fault. It's just, that's what happened. And I invoked the Americans with Disabilities Act. This guy wasn't having it. And I was like, are you kidding me? My parents were freaking out. My doctor was freaking out, the whole one. And I was like, I was a senior in college, and I sort of recognized that this one class was not going to make it or break for me, you know, for the rest of my life. So I was like, you know what, I'll take the grade and just deal with it, because ultimately this stupid little class is not going to, you know, dictate whether or not I get a job after school. You know, I think I'll be able to explain that one.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And ultimately, like, if someone isn't, you know, sympathetic to what happened there, do I really want to work in that line for that person anyways, if they're not able to be sympathetic for, you know, that sort of situation? So I think, you know, I think it's important to really develop some sort of relationship with the college professor, especially your roommates and stuff like that in college, because the support system does expand as you get older. It starts, you know, with your parents, your immediate family as you're young. Mm-hmm. Then it starts to include your classmates in elementary school, the teachers, your coaches, you know, the band teacher, the whoever else you may be, like your tutor or whatever. And then by the time you're in high school, it's your teammates. The time you're in college, your professors, the administration, your roommates, and everyone else. So, you know, I think it's important to really be upfront with these people, because when you need them most, you want them to be able to step up to the plate for you. And unfortunately, you know, looking back, I think I would have tried to have developed more relationship with this professor that gave me such a hard time my senior year. But it happened, and it was a live and learn sort of situation for me. Because of that, I've taken that, you know, 5 years later to the point where I know now who I can and cannot trust in sort of situations where I do get sick.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. It's kind of a navigation of like learning who is going to accept it and how they're going to accept it. And yeah, you do learn that there are a lot of really good people in the world. And then there's a few bad eggs.
Exactly. Like people who are not good. Yeah. Or people who just not understanding.
Right. Yeah. And why would you want them in your life anyway?
Yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea. So, you know, I think from there, though, it's important to recognize that there are also times when you're not with your support system where you may have to communicate your CF. And I just wrote a blog about this earlier in the week to start off CF Awareness Month. And that's, you know, when you're in a situation and you may not be feeling good, you're out there coughing, or, you know, you may be sickly, or for me, I travel on the subway with a surgical mask, or if I go on an airplane with a surgical mask. You know, you may draw some stares and questions or whatever, And actually, just this past week when I was traveling to Wisconsin, obviously, if you're on an airplane and you have a surgical mask on, you're sitting next to somebody for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to be quiet for 2.5 hours to the person sitting next to you.
Yeah.
You know, usually you can lock yourself in with your headphones or whatever. But obviously, the person's going to ask because the person's going to be like,
worried.
Are you sick? Yeah, are you sick? I actually, a few years ago, I was traveling somewhere and I had a really nervous flyer sitting next to me. And like this woman was flying with her husband somewhere. And the husband even looked at me and he was like, I apologize for my wife. She's a super nervous flyer. And like within 5 seconds of sitting down after her husband said that, she was like, are you sick? Are you going to get me sick? Should I move? I was like, you're fine. Just relax. Like, it's more me. And then I started talking about CF, and they were like, oh, like, do you know Boomer Esiason? His son has CF. I was like, well, that's me, actually. And then, of course, the husband was, like, a huge sports fan and just started talking sports with me the whole flight. And, like, totally negligent of his wife, who's just, like, sitting there panicking during this entire flight. And we're talking sports, and the wife is, like, doing one of these, you know? She's, like, rocking back and forth in the chair. And then we finally get to wherever we were going, and the husband and I had become friends, and the wife was like, had lost like 25 pounds of like water weight and sweat.
Ever heard of Boomer Esiason?
Yeah, it's like his son has CF. I was like, oh, really? He does? That's me.
So good.
So yeah, no, I there are definitely situations like that, and I think those are times when you have to tread carefully.
Yes. Well, yeah, and you don't need everyone to be your ally on the subway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, your support system grows, but it's also like your piece of information. I mean, we talk about that too.
Yeah, it's important to be kind. I think when people confront you about it, in the way, you know, you don't want to be an idiot about it and be like, I don't know. You don't want to like all of a sudden be like, just get away from me. You know,
yeah.
if you're coming on me about my surgical mask or whatever. You know, just like, I have a lung disease, you know, you're going to be fine. This is just for me.
Yeah.
And I get that question all the time on the subway, the railroad. And ultimately, a lot of the time I get my own seat or my own little space because no one wants to be around someone with in a surgical mask for whatever reason. And that's fine with me. It doesn't really bother me. But, I think there are times when you have to be aware that, you know, people just don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
They have absolutely no idea, and they may make a snide comment, and you have to be prepared to react to that. And it's fine.
Right.
It's going to happen. And you have to look at that as like a positive opportunity to explain what CF is and hopefully raise some awareness around it. And then, you know, you're doing your part in educating somebody else about the disease in the moment.
Yeah, and then their initial impression will completely change.
Absolutely.
You'll throw them off there. Their game entirely.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that happens too. As soon as you drop the bomb, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, the person's going to be taken back, or maybe that person maybe even has, you know, knows somebody with CF, and then you sort of a conversation starter.
It is. I've met so many people traveling. Like, I'll either be doing my portable nebulizer, you know, at an empty gate or something, and the conversation will start. So for sure, it is a nice breaker.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are like the positive moments that you have to like lean your head on. You can't take one negative moment and like let it ruin everything for you.
Yeah.
That's
the
important thing here.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important to really stress on the positive times. And ultimately, a lot of people are going to be, you know, interested. I look back to a couple weeks ago, I was on a train ride home from a Ranger game in the city. And I was wearing my surgical mask, and someone just started talking to me about it. He's like, oh, I'm a radiologist over at one of the hospitals. And I was like, oh, I have cystic fibrosis, whatever. And he's like, oh, we had a patient in the other day getting a chest x-ray. And I was like, oh, you know, and then you start just talking about it. So, you know, I think there are opportunities out there when, you know, you can sort of use it as an educational point.
Yeah. I think throughout, like, I mean, every stage we've talked about that, really. Even as little, like when we started this podcast, was like, you can teach the people around you for sure.
Exactly. And I have to look at that as an opportunity. So from there, let's go on to the Making It Matter segment.
Yes. So this week we have Josie Walton. She's 15 years old and a varsity soccer player. She's like a rock star on her team in Virginia. And she actually has an awesome quote in the article on her about Well, I'll just read the quote and you'll see. When I was little, it was hard for me to deal with it and tell my friends about CF. But I think I've gotten better with that now. I've realized that this is me. And if you don't accept that, then I guess you don't accept me. I love that.
That's a great way to put it. And Josie is a big-time athlete, and that's what we love to see. Love to see, you know, kids there with cystic fibrosis that are getting involved. And she actually has a younger brother with CF that I understand as well.
So Josie, and he's also an athlete. So
yes. So it runs in the family.
Yeah.
So, I think it's important for, like we always say, to get kids involved in activity sports, you know, have them out there being social, making friends and stuff like that. And Josie is clearly doing that. I'll put the article in the blog. It's on the newsandadvance.com. And Josie, great job. And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in to the 37th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarEsiason.com or JuliaRay.com. You can also follow us on iTunes. If you do that, like, share, review. Like, share, review. And Instagram, which is...
@MakingItMatter_CF. And we have a lot of May CF Awareness Month posts.
Yes, we do have a lot of content coming up on the Instagram, so make sure you check that out. You can also check out the Boomer Esiason Foundation Instagram, which was just recently launched this week. That's @Boomer Esiason Foundation. And make sure you check that out because there's going to be a lot of good giveaways and stuff like that throughout the month of May, which is also CF Awareness Month, or as I like to say, when we like to jam as much information about CF down your throat month. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send either of us an email. I'm gunnersblog@esiason.org. Julia is juliaray@juliaray.com.
Yes.
And or you can send us a message on Facebook and we'll get back to you. And I think that's all I have. Oh, make sure you tune into the rest of Making It Matter for the month of May because we're going to have a lot of guests on moving forward. We look forward to having the Salty Sisters on coming up. We both Salty Sisters, Leah and Tiff, and that's all I have for you today. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think we covered it all.
Okay. way to be there for me.
Sorry.
So this is...
I mean, tune in. We have a lot of great guests coming up.
There we go. Thank you. All right, so this is Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray signing off.
Bye, everyone.